It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Alright, it's the Everything Digital Podcast, and as I said, it is March 23rd, 2005. It is 8:44 p.m. on the West Coast, which means on the East Coast, it is 16 minutes away from the PSP's launch. That's right. And I've been checking out Engadget's live updated PSP countdown, and they've got pictures from the launch party, and looks pretty fun. They're at the Sony Style Store in New York. Try saying that five times. Sony Style Store. Anyway, and looks like a pretty big event at this Sony Style Store. And as far as I'm seeing right now, they're debuting with a PSP commercial. However, the actual announcement and launch has not happened yet. And of course, here on the West Coast, we have to wait another, now it's 3 hours and 15 minutes for the PSP's launch. But no, I'm not standing in line right now outside some store in the cold. No, I am watching the PSP's launch straight from my desk chair. So if you somehow get this before midnight, I'm not sure that's even going to be possible, but if you somehow get this before midnight, definitely check out Engadget.com's coverage of the PSP's launch. So with that excitement looming, let's launch right into these five-second... Alright, Yahoo has announced plans to upgrade its mailbox storage capacity to 1 gigabyte in an attempt to rival Google's Gmail service. A partnership between Microsoft and Symbian on smartphones is expected to allow easy synchronization between smartphones and Microsoft Server. The Texas Attorney General recently announced a lawsuit against voice over IP provider Vonage for failing to meet the state's standards for 911 services. Apple Computer has settled its lawsuit with Doug Steigerwald, who was charged with leaking unauthorized copies of the Mac OS 10.4 Tiger operating system. And finally, Macromedia is planning to include a great deal of blog-related functionality in the next generation of its web publishing system. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Okay, so first thing I want to talk about is if you're in San Francisco, you may be at this podcasters meetup that Michael Butler from the Rock and Roll Geek Show is organizing. And, I am not in San Francisco, and I'm not planning to drive up the California coast to attend this meetup. However, Michael Butler will have a podcast up soon, hopefully, of the get-together. So it's just like being there. But I thought I would, if he has an internet connection there. It looks like he might, because he's on AIM, but in away status. I thought I'd give him a call here and see if he picks up. And if he's at the party, this will be fairly cool if we can get a little insight into the party. But I don't know if he's going to reply or not, but I just sent him an invitation. But while that is happening, while we're waiting for him to accept that, if he is even there, I have had a chance to experience the iPod Shuffle in person for the first time, and I posted this up on Flickr. It's really amazing. I mean, you see it in the photos, you think, well, it's the size of a pack of gum. I've seen pretty big packs of gum. And you think, well, no screen, it looks a little plasticky. But you see it in person, and it is just amazing how small this thing is. It makes your hand look huge. It's really that small. It's amazing. And I was astounded by how compact it is. And still it retains the iPod style and the scroll wheel. Not the screen, but really. And the person I talked to, the person who owned the iPod Shuffle, I got to hold and I didn't actually get to listen to, but I got to sort of give it a good look over. He said that really, there's, as long as you're just listening to music and you're not, you know, doing any sort of multimedia functions, it's no different from the regular iPod. You can still create the playlists, you can still, you know, shuffle it, you can still get all your music the way that you want it. Just, you can't really do it, you know, on the spot. But apparently the quality is the same, the experience, as when it's in your pocket, at least, is the same. And it's really, it's an incredibly small device and really compact. So I was impressed. I didn't think I'd be impressed the first time I saw an iPod Shuffle, but, it really exceeded my expectations. So while it doesn't look like, Michael Butler is actually available on AIM, and it's still waiting for a reply, we can move on to the other items I have here. I've made several posts about this on everythingdigital.org. It's the Persistence of Vision bicycle that I've been working on. And so Persistence of Vision is this method of sort of an LED array, and when it moves, it displays different patterns of lights at different places. So if you, like, streak it across in front of you, you'll see words spelled out, because it has different lights blinking at different fractions of each second, and that forms words in the air. Well, I had one of these devices, and it's this device that you twirl around and it spells letters in the air. And I've had this for a while, but it never really occurred to me that this could be implemented in other devices until I saw Philip Terone's on flashenable.com. He posted a picture of his Persistence of Vision shoes, which spelled out the word Nike as he ran, and I thought that was pretty cool. And that's where I really got the idea to take the components out of this device and try to fit them in something else. Shoes didn't work because the components were fairly bulky, and it really made for an awkward walking or running experience. However, I found sort of following an example that I found on Flickr, and I was able to take the components, fit them into a golf ball box, just ended up being the perfect size. No real reasoning behind that, and put that in between the spokes of the bicycle, so that as the wheel turns, it creates different patterns of letters in the air, and so now I can ride around and it displays messages in the wheel, and I'm wondering how much a company might be willing to pay me to put their message in the wheel. So definitely an experiment. And a possible new form of advertising for companies, because if companies had armies of bicycles displaying their company slogan or name in the wheel, it'd be a pretty creative way of advertising and might draw a lot of attention. So, another thing I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of a teaser, for a couple weeks now, I've been trying out iPodder X 3.0 beta. I'm on the beta mailing list, and I can't really tell you anything about it except that it's really going to blow you away. Really, really awesome piece of software here that August and Ray from the iPodder X team have put together. And it's just a complete rethinking of the whole iPodder client, the whole iPodder client program, type of program, sort of the standards of an iPodder client, that it really can expand past the normal, you know, put in your feeds, it checks them, it downloads the feeds. It just really, it adds all these new features that you'll just have to wait and see, but it's really going to blow you away. It's quite an amazing piece of software. So stay tuned and check out iPodderX.com for further updates on that, but I can tell you you're going to be impressed. Another thing is that Flickr, the popular photo sharing service, is being bought, or has actually already been bought, by Yahoo. And this comes in addition to Yahoo bulking up its email services to 1 gigabyte. Now they're expanding their photo services as well. And it's not that Flickr is going to be absorbed into Yahoo. It's still going to be the standalone service. It's not like Flickr is going to really change that much. They've assured us of that. Just fixing the lag in the headphones. Flickr isn't going to change at all, and they've promised that. However, a lot of the features that you see on Flickr now are going to start to sort of soak into Yahoo Photos, and we can expect some real developments and a combination sort of between Yahoo Photos and Flickr, which could be good and could be not so good, because Flickr is really this unique service that maybe is better on its own. But of course, now that they're under Yahoo and are getting paid by Yahoo, they've got a lot more freedom to do what they want to do and embark upon the projects that they choose to embark upon, rather than having to consider bandwidth and costs for hard drives, all that. And so hopefully, I know there's a 10 megabyte bandwidth limit on free accounts, and I think it's a 1 gigabyte bandwidth limit on, or uploading, the amount you can upload per month. 1 gigabyte, maybe? Maybe it's 100 megabytes on pro accounts. And is there no uploading limit on pro? I'll have to research that a little more. But the point is that Yahoo and their extreme bandwidth abilities their ability to provide all this great services will start allowing Flickr to expand their services, and hopefully it's going to be a good partnership. So we'll have to watch that. I'm going to go ahead and cancel this invitation because it seems like Michael Butler did not find internet at Tommy's Joint? Tommy's Joint is the place where all the podcasters in San Francisco are meeting up. It looks like he did not find internet, so I'm going to cancel this invitation. And hopefully we can get him on another show. I've been talking with him a little bit, and maybe I can get him on as a guest, which would be pretty cool. But right now, here's some non-RIAA music. This is from GarageBand.com. This is Allos, or All OS. This is Turnstile on the Everything Digital Podcast.
Let the truth be. Kyle and then all everything digital pod subscribers. I am the Shubi, and I have a podcast called The Source Code Mini, a little take on Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, made by just a 13-year-old kid. It's basically my little ripoff, and I talk about my day and random tech news and my opinions. So head on over to sourcecodemini.blogspot.com. That's sourcecodemini as one word, .blogspot.com. And please check it out. Thanks. Bye.
All right. There's a promo that came in through the audio comment line, and that's the audio comment line is 206. No, it's not 206 because I didn't pay for a 206. It is a 484-737-0669. The 206 comment lines are the ones that the Pod Squad, the first tier podcasters, have. Like Dawn and Drew, they have the their 206 line, and several others. But anyway, that audio comment was from the Shubi, and talking about the Source Code Mini at sourcecodemini.blogspot.com. So, I've got the New York Times circuit section here. Yes, it's last week's circuit section. But hey, we're going to flip through it anyway because, well, tech news never gets old, does it? Always interesting to look back, even if it's just a week back. Okay, meet you at the photo kiosk. Here's the main article. Self-service printing is redefining the camera store and even the maternity ward. This is talking about printing or photo printing kiosks where you put in a flash memory card or other data storage device, and then all your photos appear on the screen. You can select them, edit them, and choose how you want to print them. And then it will automatically print your photos for you. So kind of an interactive experience, and talking about how there's almost a culture surrounding this, and how people will invite their friends to come and help them print the photos, to, you know, help them edit them and choose which photos and how they're going to be printed and all that. So interesting. Music Buffet loading up for takeout. This is talking about Napster to go and comparing it to iTunes and sort of comparing the subscription method of downloading music versus the per song method. And so that's a debate that really could, you know, has a lot of points both ways. And it really comes down to, it's the user's preference, because depending on individual requirements, some people, their taste in music changes rather quickly. They get bored of songs quickly. Subscription-based service would work well for them. Some people, they have the one favorite song for 10 years, and of course they'd want to keep listening to that song. And depending on what genres you're into too. You know, some, you know, different songs and things. Some are, you're going to want to refresh every month. Some you're going to want to change around your playlist and the songs you have. And some you're just going to want to keep those songs because you really like them or because they just last and you want to own them. You don't want to rent them. So it comes down to a personal preference. And I guess we'll see once the Napster service really has a chance to gain some users, and then we'll see how it compares in number of users and number of downloads to iTunes. So flipping through a little bit, we have in the NewsWatch section. My favorite NewsWatch section. Laptop legs and Mac feet keep portables on their toes. These are little feet that go under a laptop and lift it up off the desk to keep it cool. So, pretty good idea. it would be nice if they were built into the laptop, but I guess space is so important, especially in the G4 PowerBooks, which is what they've got pictured here with these feet. Space inside it is just so important that it's better. It's hard to pack feet in there as well. So I guess these external feet seem to work pretty well. And something I'd actually consider buying, because my iBook definitely, if you put it on certain types of surfaces, it will get very hot underneath, and that concerns me. Plugin turns Photoshop users into skilled creators of websites. This is pretty cool. This is a plugin for Photoshop that basically turns it into a HTML editing program like Dreamweaver, except it's very visually oriented and sort of more for the artsy and graphic-based web editor, and sort of combines the graphic editor with the web editor. And it's nice. It looks, just judging by the screenshots in the description, looks like it could be a very useful tool in designing a website. Flash memory players have staying power. This is talking about all the flash memory players that pop up, and there are a lot of them. Probably listing them would take more than a page of newspaper space. But they just talk about a few. They talk about this new Sony one, the NWE-103, 256 megabytes for $90. And it's also got a 512 for $100, a 1 gigabyte for $150. And this is a pretty cool device. It's basically Sony's answer to the iPod Shuffle. And it's a device that's probably about that size, but it's got a little screen. Doesn't quite have the iPod style, but it does have a nice integrated screen and a very nice design. So, moving on. Portable inkjet wants to be a travel buddy. This is a little fold-out printer that apparently you can take with you when you travel. So, pretty interesting. And also, actually, there's another item sort of related to this. There's a keyboard that also has a built-in printer and fax machine and copier. Oh, and scanner. Or maybe it's not a printer, but it's a scanner, fax machine, and copier. So you think it could function as a printer. And this is a little attachment to your keyboard that allows you to have sort of an all-in-one device, one with your keyboard. Pretty cool, if you don't mind your keyboard being a little bulky. Hey. One bank of 42 tiny speakers thinks it has you surrounded. This is pretty cool. This is a basically really wide speaker, and fairly thin, but really wide, and it's got 42 tiny little speakers inside it, and sort of creates surround sound without actually having to have speakers all around. This has been implemented in a lot of different TVs and things. Okay, had to clear the lag here. And accept an IM. Okay. So this has been implemented in some TVs. It's called, this is a different type of thing, but virtual surround sound has become quite popular, and it's a way of using different amplitudes of sound in several different speakers that can all be in one place, but it still gives the effect of surround sound. So very cool. Even while instant messaging, there's no escaping marketers. This is their little data point section, and this is showing the increase in spam. Instant messenger spam. The different commercial or ad spammers that will contact you through AOL Instant Messenger and send you unsolicited messages about offers and, you know, the usual spam. Let's see. More loading up for the takeout at the music buffet. And as we turn the page, more on the photo kiosk. This is a pretty funny article over here. This is about a guy that his name is David Green, and David Green is such a popular name that at both jobs that he's worked at recently, there have been other David Greens in the building. So talking about the email situation when there's two people with the same name, and how they're always forwarding email messages that came to them by mistake to the other David Green in the building. And, you know, funny article. Probably doesn't happen that often, but apparently happens to people named David Green fairly often. And then, turning to the last page, we have language anxiety, try immersion therapy. This is a new breed of software for learning languages, and a way to sort of run this software on your computer, and it'll completely immerse you in a foreign language. So you learn the way you would learn if, say, you went to the country where that language is spoken. And so it everything in the program will be in the foreign language, and you just have to learn by figuring it out, you know, using your reasoning skills to try and figure the language out on your own, which can be a good tactic and can work rather quickly. So very cool. And the last article, big screens come in small packages. This is about these paper screens that you could potentially fold out of a cell phone and get like a full letter page size screen that just folds out from under a cell phone, and these flexible screens that can really, you know, bend and retract into a really small space and still have the same resolution and display capabilities of any normal LCD screen. That's the New York Times Circuits, and we are at almost 30 minutes, actually exactly 30 minutes. So that's all I got. Looks like Michael Butler's still not online, so apparently he's not home yet from the podcast meetup, but look forward to the...